Great. Have you got a microphone I can use? I tend to move around a bit, don't I? Be great. Right. Can you hear me? Yeah, you're all out there? All the young ones sitting down the back, eh? Hey? Wish I was young again. Hey, look, it's really wonderful to be with you here this morning. Thank you, Derek, for inviting me along, and hopefully I can share some wisdom, a little bit of wisdom. I'm a little bit older than most of you, so hopefully, I can impart something to you. So my name is Ewan, that's spelled E-W-A-N, Ewan, and I'm on team at Open Doors here in New Zealand. I have four daughters. Pray for me. No, they're good. They're all grown up. Three are married and one's still on the market. But we'll get there. I've five grandchildren. I'm looking around and I'm saying, I'm probably, any other grandparents in the room? None. Oh, you don't know what you're missing. You really don't. They're beautiful. I've got a three-year-old grandson. His name is Xander. And I took him to the park the other day. And we had a great time on the swings. I haven't been on the swings for about 50 years, you know. So I was swinging away there and chatting. And on the way back from the park, I noticed a smell, you know, one of those smells. And I'm kind of bent down and, yep, it had a little accident. So when I got home, I did what any grandparent would do. I gave him straight back to his mother. Because my nappy changing days are over. That is one of the joys that you have to look forward to when you become a grandparent. Hey, we live in a rapidly changing world, don't we? Don't know whether you've noticed, there's a lot been going on. We've had COVID. We've had the aftermath of COVID. We've got a senseless war going on at the moment in the Ukraine. And believe you me, it is senseless. We had earthquakes in Turkey and Syria in the last couple of months. And then we had our own cyclone, didn't we? Here in New Zealand. And it's devastated a lot of people's lives down on the East Coast especially. So there's been a lot of change. But you know, I'm really thankful that our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is 100% trustworthy to his word. He's 100% faithful. That's why we can come here this morning, we can sing Amazing Grace. Because that's what it is. It is amazing. So be encouraged by that. Even though circumstances around you are changing all the time, your God, my God, never changes. He has never lost his love for humanity. And he is the answer to every question, every need, every circumstance, and every tragedy that we will ever face in our lives. Always go back to him. Okay, question. How many here have heard of Open Doors? Put your hand up if you know who Open Doors are. Oh, I've got a lot of unbelievers here. Okay, that's great. That's good. Well, I'm here to tell you who we are and what we do. We are first and foremost a Christian charity. And our mandate is to serve the persecuted church. And we do that by raising awareness, like I'm doing here this morning in local churches, by raising obviously financial support. We are a Christian charity. And last but not least, a lot of prayer. Open Doors' mission statement is to help people follow Jesus all over the world, no matter the cost. Now that is the key. A little bit of history. Open Doors began 68 years ago. When a young Christian in Holland by the name of Brother Andrew, that's all he was ever known as, Brother Andrew. I still don't know his last name. he answered the call of God in his life. And he started smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe. That was in 1955. A friend gave him a blue Volkswagen. And that's what he used to smuggle. He just went backwards and forwards from Holland into Eastern Europe. Now, Eastern Europe back in those days was communist, completely anti-Christian. And Brother Andrew has some miraculous stories of how God got him through checkpoints, security points on his way into those countries. He wrote a book called God Smuggler, which actually sold about 10 million copies, which for a Christian book is quite significant. So Open Door started with one man's obedience to the call of God. Now, sadly, Brother Andrew passed away last year in October at the ripe old age of 94. It's a good innings, isn't it? But what a legacy he has left behind. Open Doors are now represented in the 70 most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian. What do? We help with practical needs, food, shelter, medicine, especially, more recently in Turkey and Syria with the earthquakes. We supply Bibles and other Christian literature. We train pastors and church leaders. We run discipleship courses. And we provide trauma counseling as well. And what I love about Open Doors is the fact that we don't go into all these countries, you know, with all guns blazing, saying, hey, we've got the answers, because quite frankly, we haven't. But we work with teams and individuals on the ground who tell us where and what the needs are. Can we put the next slide up, please, Gordon? Now, every year, Open Doors produces what we call our World Watch List, which is the list of the 50 most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian. I don't know whether you can read that, but I know them. So North Korea is number one, has been for 21 years. Number one. Last year, there was a new number one. Does anyone want to have a guess? It's in the top 10 there. I don't know whether you can see that. But what happened can anyone remember what happened in August of 2021? Something significant happened in the Middle East. The Taliban invaded Afghanistan. Well, they didn't invade, they took it over, basically, yeah. So Afghanistan was number one last year on the World Watch List. It's now number nine. And the reason for that is because there are very, very few Christians left in Afghanistan. They've either left the country or they've been martyred. We estimate there are 10,000 believers left in Afghanistan, maximum. So that's the World Watch List. I've got a copy of that out there. If anyone wants to see me afterwards, I can give you that. You know what? There's so much we can learn from the persecuted church. Their faith is both inspiring, but it's challenging at the same time. So I want you to join me on a journey this morning as we discover why Jesus could say in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the persecuted." Kind of doesn't make sense, does it? Blessed are the persecuted. Can I be totally honest with you here this morning? Not a rhetorical question. Can I be honest? I can. Okay, good. When I first started working for Open Doors, I knew very little. In fact, I knew practically nothing about the persecuted church. I'd been a Christian for 32 years. It was kind of like, for me anyway, out of sight, out of mind. Plus, I'd had no first-hand experience of being persecuted. You know, we live in a Western culture. We are free to meet. We shouldn't take our freedom for granted. We are free to meet here on a Sunday morning. We're free to pray together in prayer groups. I don't know whether you have connect groups or life groups. You're free to meet. We're free to share the gospel with our neighbours if we want to. We're not going to get locked up in prison. In fact, if I'm honest, the closest I've come to persecution personally was being laughed at when I tried to share the gospel with someone who didn't want to hear it. Which hurt my pride, but that was about all. But the more testimonies I read of persecuted Christians, and the more video clips I watched, I realized that the persecuted church is alive. Not only is it alive, it is growing rapidly. Now that realization really challenged my faith. Why is the persecuted church the fastest growing church in the world? And yet here we are in a culture where we're allowed to share the gospel, we're allowed to meet together, we have so much freedom, and yet the church is not growing to the same extent it is in a country, in persecuted countries. So that really challenged my faith. It should be the other way around, shouldn't it? It should be the other way around. We should be off the map here as far as church growth goes in Western culture. But we're not. Today, 1 in 7 Christians are being persecuted globally. 1 in 7. Now, to put a number on that, I'm a numbers person. That's about 300 million believers are being persecuted for their faith. In North Korea, which is number one up there on the world watch list, the most dangerous place to be a Christian, there are estimated 300,000 believers in North Korea. 80,000 of those are in prison or concentration camps. If you do the maths, that's 1 in 4. That's 25%. It's actually a little bit more. 25% are in prison or concentration camps. I wonder how keen we would have been to put our hand up and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, knowing that you had a 25% chance of ending up in prison. Here's a recent quote from a North Korean Christian. When three of us are meeting, one of us is a spy and will report to the government. So, my question is this. Should persecution be a surprise to us? Give me an answer, folks. No. No. Persecution is 100% biblical. In fact, there are stories of persecution running right through this book from Genesis to Revelation. You remember the early church in Jerusalem? They were getting comfortable. Persecution came. They scattered. And what did they do when they scattered and they went to other countries? They spread the gospel. Exactly. Jesus himself said in John 15, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Not they might or they could, but they will. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And we know that Paul experienced persecution on all levels and was finally martyred in Rome. But persecution is not just something that happened in the past. It is alive and it is kicking in our world today. So I want us to look at a short video. And this is a modern day example of persecution. This is Helen's story, so I'm going to let her tell it.
Hi, it's Helen. I'm safe now. Who can preach the gospel? The answer is simple. Anyone who is not afraid to die. I was in that shipping container for 32 months. In the heat of desert day, the walls would burn our skin. In the night, we shook from the cold. I remember the story of Paul and Silas. Like them, I began to sing. The guards tried to stop me, but I keep singing and keep preaching the good news to anyone who would listen. They tried everything. They torture me with a tool meant to kill. Their goal was for me to deny my faith. Stop saying Jesus. All I could answer was, I cannot. I accept him unto death. But your prayers carried me through. I would tell the other prisoners. For us. I can feel it. The name of Jesus is medicine, and the world desperately needs it. Our brothers and sisters are still in prison. While we eat, they have no food. While we are free, they are in chains. We can do more. Keep on praying. Keep on supporting. Keep on singing. Your sister in Christ, Helen.
I've seen that video many times, but it never fails to move me. Helen's story is quite amazing. One thing that she didn't tell you was that when she was arrested for singing worship songs on the steps of her church, she had an 8-year-old daughter. So she never saw her daughter for 32 months while she was in that shipping container. Her story just leads me on to two verses in Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, the ones that were read out a little bit earlier on. I'm just going to read them again. This is Jesus speaking, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, "Blessed are you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of things about you because you are my followers. Be happy about that. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way." These are two very powerful and challenging verses. How can we be blessed and happy in the midst of persecution? And with all due respect, I can't answer that question. but I know someone who can. So I'm going to ask Helen, who was in the container that could not contain her, to help us understand. Firstly, let me define this word blessed for you, because it's important to know what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus used the term blessed in the Beatitudes to describe the inner quality of well-being and prosperity, a deep, joy-filled contentment that cannot be shaken by poverty, grief, famine, persecution, war, or any other trial or tragedy we face in life. I love that. A deep, joy-filled contentment. We often think of blessing as being outward. God bless me financially. God bless me with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife. What he's talking about here in the Beatitudes is an internal blessing, a deep, joy-filled contentment. So how did Helen survive 32 months imprisoned in a shipping container and being tortured as well? How did she come through that with her faith intact? Not only intact, but stronger than what it was when she went into the container. What kept her going? What kept her singing her way to freedom? And the answer is, she experienced the blessing. She experienced that deep, joy-filled contentment that couldn't be shaken no matter what was thrown at her. You remember, during this time, she preached the gospel. There were 19 other people with her in the container. You can imagine what the conditions were like. She preached the gospel. She sang. She worshipped. She prayed. She persevered. She couldn't do that in her own strength. It had to come from a blessed assurance that's only available through a deep anchored faith in Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Helen is an inspiration to my faith, but she challenges my faith as well. You and I have the same blessing that Helen has, but are we outworking it the way that she did? You know, that's the challenge, really. There's a boldness to her faith, even in the midst of persecution, that I have personally, I'm just being honest here, guys, I have yet to experience. Now, don't get me wrong. I have no desire to be locked in a shipping container for 32 months or to be tortured. But you know what? I've often wondered what my response would be if something like that happened to me. Would my response be the same as Helen's? Would your response be the same as Helen's? I just want to share a final story before I conclude. And this is a story of a couple in India by the name of Arav and Neela. And Arav had been part of an extremist group over there. He'd been locked up in prison. While in prison, he decided he'd seek God. If this God is real. And through a chain of events and a couple of people that he met who shared the gospel with him, he became a believer in prison. When he got out of prison, he went back to his village and he started preaching the gospel. Now, when he was a criminal, everyone in the village avoided him. They left him alone. Once they'd found out that he'd become a Christian, the whole village turned on him. And he was badly beaten. He was chased out of his house along with his wife, Neela, and 4 small children. And that's when Open Doors became involved. And our partners on the ground over there said, why don't you leave this place? This was Arab's reply. Brother, God has called me to this place. Even if I die, I will go and meet Jesus. And that is exactly what happened. In 2020, Arab was martyred and went to be with the Lord. But the story doesn't end there. Arab was killed by members of the extremist group that he was once part of. Open Doors went to meet with Arab's wife, Neela. And she came in with her 4 small children. And she was smiling, not looking at all afraid. Our partners asked her, do you want to go and live somewhere else? In other words, they were offering to relocate her and the family. This was her reply. I will continue the work that my husband and I started. If they want to kill me, they can come and kill me. I don't bother about being killed. I'm bothered about the souls God has given us in this village. Wow. That's what I call putting a stake in the ground. That's an example of fearless faith. I don't bother about being killed, she said. I'm bothered about the souls that God has given us in this village. What are we bothered about today? Like Neela, are we bothered about the people who don't know Christ, that are our next door neighbors, that are our schoolmates, our friends at university, our workmates? Are we bothered? Arab and Neela are prime examples of Christians who didn't shrink back in the face of persecution. I don't know about you, but there's a boldness to their faith that I really experience myself. And the question is, what am I going to do about it? Or maybe a better one is this: how much does Jesus really mean to me? Am I all in for him? Am I walking out my faith in a way that makes a difference to the people in my world? Am I a soul winner like Neela? Is my faith eternally focused? Maybe some questions we can ask ourselves. Open Doors serves and supports believers like Neela who are currently building the church in a hostile environment. Our mission is not to stop persecution. Persecution has always existed and it always will. But we can help and support and partner with Christians who live under persecution. We can't do everything, but we can all do something. Very quickly, there are 2 ways to partner with Open Doors. Number one is to become like a prayer warrior, is to commit to pray. Because sometimes that's all we can do. The second thing that you can do is become a monthly giver. And I'd love to speak with you afterwards. Got a stand out there in the foyer. Love to have a chat with you about that. And we can really make a difference. So finally, I just want to thank you all this morning for letting me share. I really appreciate the opportunity that you've given to me. And hopefully you now know a little bit more about Open Doors, about our ministry, and about the people that we help, like Helen and Neela. My prayer is that you have been inspired by the stories I've shared and challenged to live out your faith boldly, no matter the cost. Remember the words of Helen in the video. She said, the name of Jesus is medicine, and the world desperately needs it. Amen. Thank you.